Hallelujah. Can we give God a shout of praise? You know, I was going to be disappointed, but I got so excited because every year I've come here from 2011 and Sister Beverly has always played. And I think I asked Rebecca and I asked if she's coming I asked one of our piano player and if she's coming. And so I'm so thankful that our millennial got to play on the organ today. So we're so blessed every time. There's such an anointing on her. But before I introduce my wife and then unpack the word that God laid on my heart, we have some friends of ours, and they get the award for the farthest they drove to come to church this morning. They came all the way from Tucson, Arizona to come to church. And Sarah and Patrick McFarland, just smile and give us the Barbie wave and just stand up and give us a wave so everybody can see you guys. So yeah, praise God. They were here last year. They moved from Hawaii to Lincoln to Tucson, and then they found out that we were here in Kansas City, and they made a little detour, not a little detour. Instead of going to Lincoln, they said, well, I'm coming to Kansas City to be with Pebble Creek. They must really love you guys, you know, so praise Jesus. So good to have you all. But before I share the word, I want to thank you all for being at the seminar yesterday and, of course, Friday night. And I just can't wait to unpack the word, but how many enjoy Sister Meliana? Give her a hand as she comes.
Thank you. Praise God. Again, I want to say thank you again so much for your hospitality and your generosity. You guys have really blessed us every time we come here. We just want to say thank you. And to be honest, I was so blessed. The other night, there was another millennial came and find out he's going to be 89. You know, yeah, I think in a few days. And I was so blessed that it doesn't matter how old are you, and you, we all know what's going on. But he'd been at church, you know, and it's just a joy. And not only that, I was so blessed to always see Pastor Dennis and Karen up here. Yes. And worshiping God, singing and leading us into the presence of God. I mean, what an example to show that doesn't matter what we are going through, we can continue to serve God. Amen. We can worship Him, show the world, hey, He is protecting us. He is directing our steps, and we will always be in the right place in the right time. Amen. Real quickly, just want to remind you guys, we have some resources back in the foyer, books, CDs, and I grabbed his book. I know that I shared him many times. This is his first book, but this is the second printing. I'm not sure if some of you got his second printing. What happened, it was like we revised it and then reprinted it so there's 60 more pages in it. I'll give you a quick little testimony about it. Last year we were in a church in Hawaii, and this lady came up to me and shared testimony. She said that we were at their church about 4 years ago, and John Minister, she said, I forgot what he was. No, you were sharing a testimony. And her and her partner, she lived in a lesbian lifestyle, married for 21 years, and go to church, been attending the church, in the Assembly of God church. They were attending that church for 3 years prior before we came there, but the 4 years ago, we were there. And there was a testimony that John shared. Somehow it just really speak into both of them. They were both attending at that church that morning. And she said when they left that morning, went home, they decided that the lifestyle they lived in, that is not God's will. So they broke up. they decided they have to live the way God wanted them to be. And she said she came back that night and bought the book, the first printing. And she said when she read the book, it really, really helped her, because she said, even though I know that God forgave me of my sins, but she said, it was so hard for me to deal with understanding that if God's still going to love me because of the lifestyle that I have chosen to live all these years. And she said when she read the book, what it is, it's the entire book of Song of Solomon. Most of you that may not know that book, it's a love book. And our desire is to help people get to know him intimately. So she said when she read the book, it really helped her to understand that God really, really loved her and forgave her for the lifestyle that she has been living all these years. And she said it helped her, it frees her to understand how much God loves her. And I learned something. You know, when you and I experience or understand or know how much God loves you, it sets you free. Amen. It empowers you to walk out from sin, just like what this sister had shared with me. And I believe that unless we really know how much God loves me, we will be fearful of everything, not have the strength to walk out from sin, not have the strength to know, hey, God is for me. He's not against me. Amen? Talk about it. I wanted to share with you guys again a quick testimony, especially because of what we are facing nowadays. John and I, early this year, we hopped on a plane, flew to Orlando, Florida to do a half marathon. And because we were so busy, I forgot to look up on the map where the route is going to be. Can you imagine getting ready to run a half marathon and you don't know where you're going to run? So, and as we showed up at the race, getting ready to go on a race, it finally dawned on me. That's when I remember, oh my gosh, I don't know where the route is going to be. And I had my phone. As I was getting ready to look up the map where the route is going to be, a thought came to my mind. And this is what I was thinking. Well, there is going to be a lot of fast runner in this race. There are going to be a lot of people that is stronger than me, faster than me. And guess what Meliana is going to do? I am going to fix my eyes on them. I am going to watch them, where they turn, where they're going to go. I am going to follow them to lead me and to guide me to the finish line. And guess what I did that morning? That's exactly what I did. I followed the fast runner, and I finished and completed the race that morning. Why? Because there were a lot of people that was fast runner than me, and I followed them. And I thought about this. Why it's so important for you and I to fix our eyes, our mind, and our heart in Jesus. Because we may never know. There are people that are so afraid, don't have the strength, don't have the courage. I mean, these fast runners ahead of me, they don't even know there is a lady behind them that is a slow runner, did not know where to go, but she is depending on them. And that's why I want to encourage you. This is a time that you and I, we have to connect with God, spend time with God in prayer and in his word, so he can empower us, he can strengthen us, so we can make it to the finish line. Amen? Especially nowadays. I have so many messages on my Facebook, email, people asking, what can we do? We are feeling with so much fear, worry, anxiety, depression. Don't know what to do because of what's going on. That's why I want to encourage you. Listen, our children, our grandchildren, our church and our city, I believe they are depending on you and I, making it to the finish line, have the courage, have the strength. Listen, I'm not going to follow somebody that is so timid, afraid of everything. That's why this is the time we have to rise up. We need to know who we are. Not afraid of every sickness that come in our way. I'm not saying that we have not used wisdom. We have to. John and I, we carry masks in our bag, you know. But what I'm trying to say that we need to know who we are. Psalm 91, many of us, we quoted it, but we don't believe it. Yes, those things are coming, but we must understand that God's protection will always protect us, and He will always direct our steps. We will always be in the right place in the right time. So it's about time, amen, to rise up, lead the way into the presence of God. What is the finish line? It's the presence of God. That's where people find peace, joy, love in a time that people don't know what to do, where not to do. But we will lead them into the presence of God. Amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. How many are ready for God's word? How many are ready to finish the race? Come on. You know, our brother Larry finished the race. And I think, what a title for a sermon. However, today, this morning, I want to talk to you about response. Everybody say response. I believe that our response, whatever it might be, will determine outcome. My outcome, my response, rather, to what's going on is going to determine the outcome. We all have crisis. We all have things that we walk through. But how I respond to it is going to determine what begins to happen. There are certain things that I cannot control. That I really can't control what the government does. I can't control what the mayor of Kansas City does. But I can control my response. And in that moment, I want you to turn in your Bible to Matthew 11. Matthew 11 in the New Testament. For those of you that are familiar with the scripture, I can tell you right now, I could probably spend a year talking out of Matthew 11. However, I'm going to make a correlation between Matthew 11 and I'm going to make a correlation to a very familiar passage of scripture in the book of Acts. But I want to tell you what is happening right now, because the Bible says that John's in prison. Everybody say prison. When I talk to you this morning about prison, I don't want you to think about a prison cell or prison bars. What I want you to think about is how people can be in a prison emotionally. How they can be in a prison spiritually. How they can be in a prison physically. Not that they went to prison. Because actually what JC did is when Pastor JC handed the mic, he handed the mic to an ex-prisoner. Come on. Because every one of us in this room are ex-prisoners. Because we've all been delivered from something. Come on. But I really am an ex-con. Come on. For real. I was arrested and sent to Fort Leavenworth just up the road and spent 18 months at Fort Leavenworth at 19 years old and for selling drugs in the military. And you know what? I'm so glad that I got out of that prison. Come on, church. But when I talk to you about prison this morning, I want to talk to you about the emotional prison, the spiritual prison. Because I believe that a person who has the right heart can actually be in a physical prison, but not be in prison. The greatest author of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, 14 books in the New Testament written in prison. Why? Because he wasn't in a prison on the inside. But John the Baptist here in this story in Matthew 11 finds himself in prison. Now, first of all, let me lay a foundation. He wasn't in prison because he did something wrong. like I did. He was in prison for doing something right. That can be very difficult to navigate through, ladies and gentlemen, when you do the right thing and still get thrown into a prison. Because what he did is, nobody ever had a problem with John the Baptist when he was baptizing on the River Jordan. But they had a problem when John began to confront the lifestyle of government officials. When he began to speak to the government and say, what you're doing is wrong. Come on. That's where he got into trouble. Because when he told Herod, oh, by the way, the woman that you're living with is not your wife. That is when they wanted his head and they threw him in prison. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to just read the text found in chapter 11 of Matthew verse 2, because I want to break something down, then get over to the book of Acts quickly. Everybody say, it says, when John heard in prison. Everybody say, heard in prison. See, ladies and gentlemen, someone could be sitting in this room today, but actually be in a prison. Somebody can be sitting in a theater, anywhere. They could be driving their car, but they're actually in a prison. Because what I hear in prison, I'm going to filter it through my prison. Because what I hear in my prison is not going to get interpreted right. What I hear in my pain is going to get twisted based upon my circumstances. And I want to tell you something today, that sometimes what we hear in prison is not necessarily the truth. It says, when he heard in prison about the works of Christ, this is what he did. He sent to his disciples, verse 3, Matthew 11, and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about someone who just got saved last Sunday. We're talking about the very prophet in the New Testament that pointed to Jesus to say that he was the Messiah. And now, here is this preacher who finds himself in a prison, and now he questions the validity of who God is. Let me just tell you, I never want to get to the place in my life where no matter what's happening around me, that I question who Jesus is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just because my circumstances aren't what they used to be, just because my situation isn't like what I've been used to, just because my comfort and my ease have been taken away, and now I find myself in a prison cell. Come on. But I don't want to question, are you really God or not? Because God should be just as real with COVID-19 as he is in any time in human history. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I honestly believe that John could have responded correctly in his prison. But the good news is, I want you to turn over to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. I love this story. In fact, it's one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts, because I want to break down something. Because see, the situation is very similar with Paul and Silas. They're thrown into prison for doing the right thing. In fact, the community don't like what they preach, so they were a detriment to the community. And I want to say something prophetically. You know what? The world is going to see the church as not an essential to the community. We have to understand that. That is coming down the pike. Now, with that, but let me just say this. It says in verse 25, they had preached, they had cast the devil out, they had done things, and now they were thrown in prison. But this is what it says. But at midnight. Everybody say at midnight. Turn to your neighbor, say at midnight. I want to talk to you a little bit about midnight. You know what midnight is? That means it's your darkest hour. Who I am in the darkest is who I really am in the light. At midnight. How I respond to my midnight is going to determine the outcome. Because what if we are really light, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden, then that midnight, that's when I shine the brightest. It's at midnight where I rise up. It's at midnight where I become alive. It's at midnight where I get enough is enough. I'm going after God at midnight. I may be locked in a cell. I have done the right thing. But it's at midnight that I begin to react. So what am I encouraging Pebble Creek to do? How many know that we are at midnight in America? We are at midnight in our country. We are at midnight in Kansas City, Missouri. And who's going to rise up at midnight? The world's not going to rise up at midnight. Those in fear are not going to rise up in midnight. Those who are in emotional or mental prison are not going to rise up at midnight. Who is going to rise up at midnight? Do you know why I have to rise up at midnight? Because there are prisoners around me. Paul and Silas were never really in prison. Oh, physically they were. But they were never there emotionally, and they were never there spiritually. Which means that the atmosphere around them did not determine the atmosphere on the inside of them. Because what they did is at midnight, they brought God's atmosphere into a prison. Oh, God. Because I have to understand something. In my own life, if I don't like the atmosphere, I can't just live with it. I've got to do something about it. If the atmosphere where everybody's locked up, where everybody can't believe, I've got to do something about it, because greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. But at midnight. So what do they do at midnight? Wait for the light to come? Wait for the virus to pass? Wait for the violence to stop? What do they do at midnight? First of all, it's already been prophesied, it's not going to stop. What do they do at midnight? It's something that I believe is not just in here for our information. It's in here for our action, ladies and gentlemen. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were what? Praying and singing. Everybody say praying and singing. Everybody say praying and singing. That's why they're never going to tell me not to pray and not to sing. Because the last time I checked in my Bible, singing and praying does not spread COVID-19. The last time I checked to pray and sing, it releases prisoners from prison cells. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? They were praying and singing. At the beginning of this year, I tried to get to Kansas City, like I do every year at the end of, toward the end of the year. We was going to go a week early, right before Christmas. But it decided to have the worst snowstorm they've had in years, and my flight was canceled outside of Phoenix, and I didn't make it here. But we fast every January. And while we were in a fast, I can't remember what day of the fast it was, but I'll never forget what the voice of God spoke to me. And this is what he said. He said, John, I'm going to release the song of Paul and Silas to the church. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that song is not on iTunes. For those of you that don't know what iTunes are, cassettes. 8 tracks, if I can go back. A 45, come on. That song is not recorded. But I do know this. The results are recorded. But can you imagine a song so powerful that prisoners are set free? America's in prison. Can you imagine if the church started singing? What would happen in the atmosphere? Instead of in fear, instead of complaining, instead of worried about their future, we started singing. Come on. Worried if I'm going to spend the night in prison. Worry if I'm going to get out. Worry if God's going to answer my prayer. Because notice what they did. They prayed and sang hymns to God. They didn't sing about their chains. They didn't sing about their cell. They didn't sing about their problems. They sang hymns unto God. Oh, come on, church. Which means that they did not direct their attention to their persecutors or the other prisoners. They directed their song and their prayer up to God. Because let me tell you something right now. Sometimes, yes, God wants to meet your need. But sometimes we put our need above our praise. And when we put our need above our praise, we never get delivered out of our prison. Because at that moment they sang hymns to God. They were singing to God. But the Bible puts a comma in that text in verse 25 and for a purpose, because it wants to show us what else was happening. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And listen to it says, comma, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now let me just tell you why I spent 18 months in Leavenworth. Because I wasn't listening. Because you're in prison because you didn't listen to the voice of God and the voice of authority. And you're in prison because you listen to nobody except the wrong voice, or the voice of your own selfishness, or the voice of the enemy. But now the prisoners are listening to the church. We have a culture in prison. We should never let the culture tell us that the church is a non-essential, because they're in prison. People in prison say those kinds of things. That's why I don't listen to people in prison. Come on. Because that's why I don't listen to everything that I am told, because it comes out of a prison. Oh, come on. It doesn't come from a place of faith. It doesn't come from a place of honor of the scripture. It comes from a place of fear. It comes from a place of anxiety. It comes from a place of stress. I don't listen to people that are in prison. But when they saw those men and they heard those men singing in the prison, the prisoners all of a sudden, because you know what? They're planning their escape. They can't wait to get out. I remember when I was in prison, I could not wait to get out. Come on. I could not wait to get free. And if I had an opportunity to escape, I would have. Come on. Of course, when you're in prison, you're not guilty. Right? It was the other guy's fault. He was the one that put the hashish, marijuana, in my car and caused the MP to find it. He was the one. I didn't do it. Come on. And now, they're listening to two men that they have never met sing and pray. For one moment, there's no anger in that prison cell. There's no riots going on. For one moment, there is peace in that prison. Oh, come on. Do you realize the power of your voice? Your voice in the place of anguish, your voice in the place what looked like it was a horrific thing, all of a sudden causes the world to listen. But now, wait a minute, because it said they sang hymns to God, which means they're not just singing for the prisoners. They're not just singing to be heard. Because I want to pray and I want to sing so God can hear me. Because if God doesn't hear me, I'm really in trouble. If all you do is hear me, I'm in trouble. But if God hears me, come on, then that means that God's going to do something. And this said, and then it says in the next verse, in verse 26, it says, suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. But you got to see this. You got to see this next phrase, because this is what hit me. so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Everybody say, the foundations of the prison were shaken. You've got to see this. God is shaking the nation. Why is he shaking the nation? Because you cannot build your life on your prison. You cannot build your life on your conflict. You cannot build your life on your pain. You can't build your life on racism. You can't build your life on your health. You got to build your life on Christ. Come on. Because guess what? God's going to shake. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Because sometimes what America has done is we have built America on our prison. We cannot do that. We got to build it upon Christ. Oh, come on. See, it says Pebble Creek Assembly of God, but there's a foundation in this church. It isn't pastor. It isn't the foundation under here. It is Christ. And everything that is built on Christ, guess what? Will stand every single shaking. Can I hear an amen right now? So, in other words, if I build my foundation on my depression, if I build my foundation on my weakness, if I build my ministry on myself, then when there's a conflict, I will be shaken. What is God shaking? God is shaking the false foundations. How many have felt the shaking? That's why the only thing I can stand on. Because honestly, I want to just tell you this. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but what I'm saying is we are on the verge of a civil war in our nation. And if we are not standing on the rock that is Christ, come on, we're going to get shaken with fear, the fear of wanting to go outside, the fear of living life, and we will be motivated by our prison instead of motivated by our promise. I have a promise, come on. There are more for me than those against me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. That God is looking after me. He's watching over me. 1,000 may fall on my right and 10,000 on my left, but nothing will harm me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I have a foundation, ladies and gentlemen, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your strength, you comfort me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I have a foundation. So when I find myself in a prison, literally, physically, I am not really in a prison because that prison doesn't determine my atmosphere. So what is Paul and Silas doing? They're bringing an atmosphere into a place of pain. And certainly that's what the church should be. But sometimes we can come to church and realize it's all about my need. Pastor JC, how can you meet my need? No. Start singing. Start praying. Come on. Start realizing that there's someone next to you. Come on. And behind you that could be in a prison. And your song, your voice, come on. You crying out to God, set that prisoner free. Suddenly, the foundation of the prison was shaken. Now listen to this. Now that the foundation of the prison is shaken, because I will tell you this, I think counseling is wonderful. I thank God for wonderful physicians and medical people and nurses and doctors. I thank God for that. But listen, the only person that has the ability to set captives free is Jesus. The only person that can actually set free a prisoner is Jesus. And you have someone with this microphone in his hand that once was lost, but he has been found.
who once was blind, who is now seeing, who once was in captivity to prison, to darkness and drug abuse. Come on, and anger. And you and I can tell you right now, every one of those chains of my past, every one of the chains of my self-doubt, every one of those chains of my insecurity, my God has caused those chains to come off. And if you are in chains today, you are in the right place. Because what God wants to do is, God, you may have come in with your chains, but God says, I want to leave you. I want you to leave your chains at this altar and walk out into the parking lot freer than you've ever been before. Are you hearing me? Because see, God, let me just tell you, God is trying to shake us. Not because he wants to bind us. Not because he wants to scare us. Not because he wants us to crawl in our homes and hide under the bed. He wants to shake us because he wants to free us. He wants to free the chains of, Because see, if I'm in chains, Meliana, if I'm locked up, I make my decisions based on my chains and not based on my promise. The Bible says that when he shook the foundation of that prison, I love this, and the prison was shaken, and immediately, listen to what it says, all the doors. Everybody say all the doors. Sometimes I don't understand. Here is Sean, the drummer, the bassist, everybody giving their life, giving their worship to God. And we're not singing. When I read that scripture, I realize that God wants everyone's doors to open. Even the prisoner. Even the ones that can't sing. Even the ones that don't know how to pray. Even the ones that are so bound and so painful. That is why I can't come to church and be quiet. That's why I can't come to the house of the Lord and sit on my thumbs and look at the watch and can't wait to get out and get all dressed up just so I can leave. I can't do that. You know what I mean? I have to come to church and I have to open my mouth and I have to pray and I have to sing. You know why? Because there's someone in a cell next to me. Come on. That I want their chains to fall off too. Because I don't want to be the only one in church free. I don't want to be the only one that is able to run the aisles. Come on. I don't want to be the only one that's excited about the things of God. I want every prisoner. I want every black man, every Hispanic man, every white man set free. I want every governor, every mayor. I want every city official, every county official set free by the power of God. I want their chains to fall off. I want a homosexual's chains to fall off. I want a Muslim's chains to fall off. I want every American. I want every foreigner, every person in the world for their chains to fall off. The song that causes chains to fall off. All the chains fell off and all the doors opened for everybody. But you know what's amazing about this story? Is I can tell you, when I was in prison, my fellow prisoners, my fellow comrades, all we thought is about what we were going to do when we got out. We wanted to get out. As fast as we got in, we wanted to get out a lot faster. We didn't like. I can tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, that if when I was in solitary confinement for 3 months on a reduced diet because I tried to smuggle drugs into the prison, I want to tell you something. If they would have opened that prison cell and opened that gate, I would have ran out of Fort Leavenworth. But you know what's amazing about this story? Is that the doors open. The chains fall off. But not one prisoner leaves that place? What was in that prison that earlier that day they couldn't wait to get out, but now they wanted to stay? I can tell you why. Beverly was probably playing. Come on. She was dead. She probably was alive then, you know. It just never has aged. But I want to tell you what had happened is there was such presence, such glory, such freedom in that prison that not one of those prisoners wanted to leave that atmosphere. See, if there's something we need in church, is an atmosphere where nobody wants to leave. If we had an atmosphere like that, it didn't matter what the government ordered. We would have stayed here. If we had an atmosphere so thick with the glory of God and the presence of God, guess what would have happened? They would have walked in the room and fell out themselves. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They would have gotten saved in the parking lot. Can I tell you, in 1997, I remember we had a revival breakout in Pocatello, Idaho. And I can tell you right now, I can see it with my mind's eye. People were laid out on the lawn under the power of God. Laid out under the power of God, laid out. People are driving by and there's hundreds of bodies laying out on the lawn. How does that happen? The glory of God. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, the glory of God coming to Kansas City? Come on. Come on. You know what? Nobody wants to leave church. Come on. They realize that I came in here. Come on. But they didn't want to leave that weight of glory that was not. Because for the first time in their life, they felt more free. Come on. Than they ever had felt before. Even though their natural chains was off. Even though they could have walked out of that prison with nobody telling them no. They chose to stay. What does that tell me? It is the power of God to even restrain the worst of the worst. Come on. To restrain any kind of criminal. We don't know what kind of criminal these men were. We don't know what they did. Obviously, they did things that were wrong according to the laws of the land. Some of them were probably murderers, drug dealers, rioters, all kinds of people, racists, all kinds of people. But guess what? The raw power of God through a song coming from the church put restrained an entire generation in that prison. Can I give God a hand clap right now? Because ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that in this church, there's a song like that? There's a song like that. It could become a day when you're singing up here, when the drummer hits the drums, when someone begins to sing, when Pastor Karen or Pastor Dennis or Sean or any of them begin to sing, and all of a sudden something breaks in immediately, ladies and gentlemen, that restrains the darkest of the darkest. Oh, hear me. When that happened, I could imagine, you know, I mean, I want to meet a lot of people when I get to heaven. I'm jealous of Larry. You know why I'm jealous of Larry? Because Larry gets to see those prisoners. You imagine doing an interview. I'd like to do a videotape with them. I'd like to do a Facebook Live with those guys. What happened? How come you stayed? How come you stayed there when just a few hours earlier you wanted to leave? You couldn't wait to get out. I bet they would tell me this. Brother Harkey, you know why we stayed? Because for the first time in my life, I wasn't angry. For the first time in my life, I wasn't fatherless. For the first time in my life, I wasn't filled with lust and hatred. For the first time in my life, I was free on the inside. Modern psychology can't do that. You know, they can diagnose you, but they can't free you. And God wants the church to sing, not to give America a diagnosis. Because I can give one. She's sick. God wants to give America the antidote. The antidote is a praying, singing church who's in the same place as you are, in the same prison as you are, but we're not in a prison. We're other than. Come on. Even though we're surrounded by the same things, the same fears, the same worries, the same things. But, ladies and gentlemen, we are not really surrounded like that because we're still singing in our prison. I wish John the Baptist would have remembered his song. I wish John the Baptist would have responded a little bit differently than asking two of his disciples to go to Jesus and ask Jesus if he's really the one or there's someone else. You know, that tells me you're in a prison. Because you're only free as long as your circumstances are good. And when your circumstances are good, you're free. But if your circumstances are not favorable according to your interpretation of the other circumstances, you're in a prison. Let me just tell you something. I believe that God's maturing the body of Christ, that our circumstances don't determine our freedom. Come on. Where you are today in your circumstances do not determine who you really are. It's what's going on in the inside. I haven't lost my song, preacher. I haven't lost my prayer. I haven't lost it in the middle of the prison. Because I'm going to sing. Because why am I going to sing? Because if I sing and pray, I won't stay in a prison. Now, in the world's eye, I may still be there physically, but I'm not there on the inside. Tomorrow, I'm going to Minneapolis. Not to take pictures, but to sing. And prophesy and declare. And then the next day I'm going to get on a plane and fly to way up north in Minnesota, near Canada, where it's too cold to get COVID. Come on. Of course, when you eat frozen pizza all day, it insulates you. Come on, you know, because that's all they had in 7-Eleven, just stores. I said, man, what are these? There's no vegetables up there. What's up? What's up with that? We couldn't find any vegetables. Come on. And so, but ladies and gentlemen, there's something else that happened. How do I know that the prisoners never left? I will tell you why. Verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from the sleep, seeing the prison doors open. Listen to this. Supposing that the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Now, when I see that and I read that, ladies and gentlemen, who's in prison? Those that are in charge. It's the ones that are in charge that really in the prison, because in order to kill yourself, you would have to really be in a prison. To want to commit suicide and go through the act of suicide tells me that's who is really in a prison. I remember early on in April, I was looking for statistics on Google. Because I thought when you Google something, you can find anything. But I realized that even Google is censored. Come on. So I typed in the word, what's the statistics of suicide the last month in America? And I could not find one statistic. I think that there's a purpose for that. Are you hearing me? Because they don't want to publish that statistic in order to paint a narrative that you should never be in lockdown. They want to tell you you should be in lockdown. Because every human being is not supposed to be locked up forever. You're not supposed to exist like that. God created man in the image and likeness of himself to be man and women to be free. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To be free. We are made to have contact with each other. It's not good for man to be alone. Come on, church. That's why I don't agree with it theologically. Come on. I have a theological problem with it. It has nothing to do with medical or people I don't love. Oh, Brother Harkey, you don't love us, because if you loved us, you would just do this. Wait a minute. I do love you, because guess what? I believe what the Bible says rather than what an official says. Come on. Because that official, when they don't get their way, wants to take their life. Come on. Who's in the prison here? I'm not in a prison. I am not locked up. I am not afraid to get on an airplane. I'm not afraid to travel somewhere. I've been doing this 25 years. And you can ask Meliana. I'm 57 years old, and I have not been sick with a cold in over 30 years. That tells me something. That tells me that the Bible is true. Come on. That also tells me this. Because when I was in Molokai, I got a phone call. And I don't like these phone calls. And Molokai is a small island in Hawaii. My cell phone doesn't work too well. It didn't work at the hotel that the church put us at. And so I went to town to get something. And when I went to town to get something, my phone rang, because it just works in town. And it was a family member. And the family member said, "John, can you please pray for me?" I said, "Absolutely. What's the problem?" "The doctor said I got cancer. I have lung cancer." No, nobody in this room wants to get a phone call like that. But here's the problem when you get a diagnosis. Instead of going to the scriptures, we go to Google and Google lung cancer and find out all the information about lung cancer. People do that. And so what does that do? That just brings more fear. It brings more trouble, because now you reap what you sow, right? Instead of going to the word. So when the person said that, they knew everything about lung cancer. Now, I'm not doubting the diagnosis, but this is what I did. Out of my mouth, I said, "The devil's got lung cancer." Then I quoted this word. It just came to me. Mark 11:23. If you say to the mountain, everybody say to the mountain. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's not too many mountains around here in Missouri. There might be a couple, but I don't know if there's a ski resort in Missouri. Come on. There is. Oh, praise Jesus. But there's a lot of mountains in California. There's no mountains where I am in Florida. And so I lose my sense of direction. But you can go to a mountain in the Rocky Mountains and you can speak to it all you want. It's not going to get removed. He's not talking about those kind of mountains. He's not speaking about those kind of mountains. He's talking about the strongholds, the attacks, come on, the things that try to hinder you from fulfilling the purposes of God. That's what he's talking about. He says, when you speak to the mountain, come on, when you, everybody say speak. That's why we want you to sing. Come on. When you speak to your chains, when you speak to your situation, when you don't just ask somebody to pray for you, you open your mouth and you actually declare out of your mouth what you want. Come on. When you say to the mountain, everybody say, say. That is why, come on, that sometimes we need to take our masks off and say to the mountain, come on. Say to it, speak to it. Say to the mountain, be removed. And be cast in the sea. Everybody say cast in the sea. You know what that means for me? That means that when I say cancer, be gone, it goes to the bottom of the sea. That means that it doesn't 2 years later float back up. That it goes back. It just goes into remission. It sinks to the bottom. Oh, come on, church. And I'm going to say something right now prophetically. Doubt, fear, unbelief, we cast you out right now. And we say go to the bottom of the sea. Never to resurface. If you say to the mountain, Be thou cast in the sea and do not doubt in your heart and believe that what you say, it shall come to pass. I didn't say that. Jesus did. I just repeated what Jesus told me to say. And I repeated that to the person. They got off the phone. Family member. Have cancer. Okay. Went back, got my shopping. I didn't even tell my wife. I didn't tell my wife about the phone call. Because I already spoke to the mountain. Be thou cast in the sea. Didn't have a panic attack. Didn't cry. Just prophesied to it. Decreed to it. We get ready for church. I get to church. Church is in town. Come back. Now my text has come on my phone when I get to church. John, I went and had an MRI done. They can't find any cancer in my lungs. Now, ladies and gentlemen, who's in prison here? Not the prisoners. The warden. Because he's about ready to take his life. But you know what's amazing to me? You know why I want to sing? Because I've got a whole generation that wants to take their life. And could it be that my song can stop a suicide? Not only taking their life, but taking their destiny. Because listen to what he said. I love this, Meliana. Then he said, but Paul called in a loud voice, verse 28, saying, do yourself no harm. Because in his mind, ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly what was going to happen. Now that the prisoners are gone, I've neglected my responsibility. And so guess what? They're going to execute me. My officials are going to execute me. My authority, my superiors are going to execute me. I'll do it myself. Guess what happened? But Paul called in a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Yeah. Oh, come on. What did it do? Because let me just tell you, it shows the heart of the Father. It shows the heart of God. That not only did God deliver Paul and Silas, not only God deliver all the prisoners and get them born again. Well, you don't want me, out there, I'll go to a prison. We'll have revival right here in prison. You want to kick me out and tell me I can't preach? Well, guess what? I'll preach in the prison and God will move right here in the prison. Because let me just tell you, they can't stop you from preaching. Oh, Jesus. Sorry, because they can't stop the gospel from going forth. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation, ladies and gentlemen. That if they don't want it out there, they're going to want it in here. Because when you're a prisoner, you can't wait to get free. Now, the warden, the official, the one in charge who was really in a prison, guess what Paul does? Guess what the power of God does? Guess what the power of the song, the power of the prayer does? Saves a man's life. Think maybe there could be somebody that walk in here that are so discouraged, so despondent, lost a loved one, lost a job, lost a house, lost opportunity, and they don't even want to live no more. But then Sean starts singing, and then you join him to sing, and all of a sudden, no, I don't want to take my life. I'm going to give my life to this man, Jesus, who they're singing about, and stops suicide. Do you know what I want to do? If a song can stop suicide, it can stop violence. If a song can stop suicide, it can stop rioting. If a song can heal a prisoner, it can heal a terrorist. Come on. See, we have to get so desperate, have such a sense of urgency burning on the inside of us, ladies and gentlemen, that you know what? I've got to pray and I've got to sing. Lift your hands toward heaven all over this room. Father, we thank you for your presence right here. We thank you for the power of the word that is in this room right now. We thank you for the spirit of prophecy. We thank you for every single person from the youngest to the oldest, oh God. We thank you for those in their 90s and those in their they're in single digits, and every one of our children and every one of our senior saints. But Father, right now, I pray that you would release the song of Paul and Silas to every person within the sound of my voice. Not because we can sing good, not because we're talented. It's because we have a generation that is completely locked up. We have officials. We have those in charge that are completely in prison that really are have a storm on the inside of their head emotionally. And Lord Jesus, let us give them a song, not a criticism, not a post of hatred, not a picket sign, not something written, not violence, but let us give them a song, God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Can we give God a shout of praise in the house this morning? How many want a song? How many want a song? Emily and Josh, would you please stand up? Would you just lift your hands to Jesus right now? Such a joy spending time with you yesterday at lunch. But I do want to tell you this. You guys are multi-talented, amazing people. But there's a song in you. There's a song in you that doesn't just sing over your own children. There's a song in you that will sing to children that didn't come from your womb and did not come from your seed. But God says, when you start singing, chains start falling off. And what I'm going to do with you, Josh, is that when you have a conflict, you will remember this word. Start singing. Now, you may not have the voice of an accomplished worship leader, but God is not looking for the song of an accomplished worship leader. He's looking for the song of Paul and Silas. And I'm going to put that song on the inside of you, and what's going to happen is you're going to see even people's countenance, their faces, the very look on their eyes begin to change. And what you are going to see is you are going to see silent tears come down their eyes as you begin to sing. Because there's this one individual, this gentleman, that has been very, very hard to crack and hard to deal with. And you've been specifically holding him up before the Lord, and the Lord wants you to sing over them. And the Bible says in Zephaniah, I believe it's 3:17, the Lord sings over you. And as you begin to sing over them, the hardness, the anti-atheistic hatred toward God, the liberalism, will begin to fall off of him, says the Lord. Father, I thank you for this couple. The Lord says, my daughter, you are going to expand into two other businesses in the coming days. 2021 is going to be, your hand is going to be not just in one cookie jar, but in three cookie jars. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the ingredients. In fact, you're going to go into one cookie jar where the bugs, the cockroaches have actually gotten on the inside because it's been neglected. But what you're going to do is you're going to go there and you're going to clean it up. You're going to remodel it. You're going to replenish it. And you're going to put fresh cookies in that jar for people to grab. Because the Lord says, I've given you multiple talents. And in that place of multiple talents, the Lord says that even right now, what you put your hands on turns from that which has been decaying, that which has been filthy, it becomes clean, says the Lord. Father, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, touch them right now in Jesus' name. Come on and give God a shout of praise right now. I would like Sean and the team to come up to the platform right now and begin to play. How many want that song? How many want that song? How many want that song? I want everybody to stand all over the room. How many appreciate Angie and JC, Pastor JC? How many appreciate them so much? I want you folks to stand over here, and I'd ask if Patrick and Sarah would come. And if you guys do have a word for them, I want you to give it to them. But stretch forth your hand to your pastor and his wonderful, wonderful wife. I just hear the word of the Lord for both of you. Because you have built your foundation on the rock, you will not be shaken. In fact, you will stand. In fact, what I'm doing in the Spirit, says the Lord, is I am making the foundation even bigger and wider so people have room to stand on that foundation. And Angie, the Lord says this to you. Thank you for making room for other people that were different than you. Even thank you for making room for those people that irritated you as well. Pastor JC, thank you for making room for the weak. Thank you for making room for the prisoner. Because many people want to make room for the preacher and the prophet, pastor. But they don't want to make the prisoner feel welcome. So they never have the influence. They never have the camaraderie, the commonality to speak into the prisoner's life. But I'm going to tell you something prophetically. In this church, been established, and there's great people here, amazing people that I've got to get to know over the years. But God is sending you prisoners, because in this church there's a song, there's a prayer that sets prisoners free. And in you, JC, there's a message, a word, a sermon. And that sermon is like poetry. Because I really see that God wants you to write a poem, literally, to set captives free. Because it's just like preaching. Preaching is poetry, really. It's just a different form of poetry.
You told me that you read Hosea, the whole book of Hosea is a poem. But I'm going to tell you something. You have the heart of Hosea, the heart of a lover. You love all people. And because you love all people, you're going to find there's going to be a shift that even be going to happen in the next 6 months where God is going to give you this burden for those that are in an emotional prison that I have to set the captives free. I have to make room and get them off the false foundation on the right foundation. And the Lord says, even within the congregation that is hearing this word this morning, and those that are there standing on a foundation of fear, JC, I'm going to tell you this, man of God, you will get them on the right foundation. And they won't get sucked in to the cultural vacuum in the name of the Lord. I'm going to say something to you. This little man, your little son, come over here. This little man is going to play guitar. And he's going to sing. And when he opens his mouth, chains will fall off. Because he carries with him a deliverance anointing. He isn't just handsome on the outside. He is great on the inside. That's why he's so resilient. That's why that no matter what happens, that in the family of his siblings, this little guy is resilient on the inside. That means he bounces back very quickly. And God has a promise for you, for him, Angie. He will literally go through fire but not be burned. He will literally go through things but not be hurt. God's making a covenant with you. Because his hand is on his life. And because God's hand's on his life, not just one hand but both hands. Because God's embracing this young man even right now. Because this man is a man that's going to leave a legacy for the Cook family. Because guess what he's going to do? He's going to cook up a message of revival and fire on the inside of him. Father, we thank you for this wonderful family. We thank you for the power of the Spirit that is upon them. We actually ask you, Meliana, come and lay hands on them. I ask you to release the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of prophecy, the Spirit of dreams and vision to come upon them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise right now in the house. In the house. In the house. I want to ask you a question this morning. I want to ask you a question. How many feel in the house this morning that I want that song to set captives free? Man. That I could sing louder. I could sing with more desperation. I could pray more, sing more. Hallelujah. I want every head bowed, every eye closed for a moment. I want you to be completely honest with the Lord because nobody in this room wants to embarrass you, especially me or Meliana or Sister Angie or Pastor JC. But I just hear the Lord asking me to do this. You may be in this room right now and you may be saying, "Preacher, I'm in a prison." Not a literally prison like Paul and Silas or John the Baptist or where you were in Leavenworth. I'm in a prison to fear, doubt, unbelief, anxiety, stress, worry about my kids and my family, my future, my job. Worried about my sustainability. Worried about tomorrow. Worried about next year, next month. Worried about my bills. Worried about my money. I'm in a prison. I'm worried about getting sick. I'm worried about touching people. I'm worried about getting close to people. Whatever it might be, I do know this. I do know this. God does not want you to worry. I do know that. God does not want you to live in that state. I do know that. And if you're in a place today where you are in a prison, God wants to set you completely free this morning. And if I were you, and I was in that state, I would not be embarrassed. Because if I was in a prison and they gave me a call to get free, I'm coming out. And if you're in that place, whatever it might be, emotion, physically, economically, spiritually, if you're in a prison, on the count of three, I want you to be vulnerable and honest before the Holy Spirit. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to raise your right hand really high. One, two, three. Raise your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you for being so honest, every one of you. I want everyone to look up here. I want everyone to look up here. If you have raised your hand this morning and you say, "Preacher, I want to be set free from the prison," I guarantee you, Jesus is here. The presence of God is here to set you completely free. Now, if you're comfortable, if you're not, I understand that. I am not going to hold you captive. But if you're comfortable and you say, "Preacher, I want to be completely, I want to walk out of here different than what I came in," on the count of three, I want you to stand up and I want you to run to this altar. One, two, three. Come forward right now. 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 Come on, give them a hand. Come on and give them a hand right now. Give them a hand right now. Now, here's what I want you to do, that you that are standing here, that you are still standing, and you said, "Yes, I want to sing over a generation." Here's what I want to do. And if you're comfortable, this is what I want you to do. I want you to step out of your seat and go behind the person and hold out your hand. And I want you to pray and sing over them. Would you do that for me? Come forward right now. Come forward right now. Come forward right now. Hallelujah. 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 Go ahead. Go ahead.
My chains are gone. And I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Come on and worship Him, sing!
I once was lost, but now I found, was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love bears me. My chains are
Sister Renee, could you come? I don't see Lee. He stepped out for a second. I didn't see him. But I can talk to him at lunch or something. But would you come forward? I want to tell you, my wife and I really enjoyed talking with you. So thankful that you joined us. But this morning in prayer, the Lord gave me a word for you. Wanted me to tell you. You are more than a Joan of Arc. See, because Joan of Arc, in all her passion to lead France to freedom and victory, she didn't make it. She didn't fulfill her call. It was very short. Well, here comes Brother Lee. Praise God, just in time. I felt like I needed to tell you this. You have a sustainability, an ability to be so, just like I prophesied over your grandson, about this ability to be resilient in the midst of pressure. And I'm going to say something to you. The Lord gave me a vision of you on a hockey ring, and you were surrounded by people that were not letting you maneuver. It's like they were coming in at you, but you had the puck and you had your stick. I don't know much about hockey, but that's what he showed me. And they said, there's no way we're going to let her get that puck in the goal. But this is what I saw. I saw the angel of the Lord grab a hold of you and cause you to swing harder than you ever had. And there is going to be a supernatural clearing that's going to happen, an opening for you that you've been praying for and believing for and breakthrough for years. Because these people, not that they're bad, it's just that they don't see the gift inside of you and have misjudged you and misinterpreted your passion, because you're so intense sometimes they don't know how to take you. They think you're angry. But when you really are after the goal, getting the puck in the goal, and God says this to you, swing, daughter, with all your might. Because I'll guide it. I'll guide what you're aiming at. Because there's no way in the natural you could get that puck through that. But the Lord says, I will guide it. But you got to swing. And then what I want you to do, because you're not swinging for you, you're swinging for people who have been so injured by life, so injured by the things of this world, that they don't feel they have it in them to swing anymore, and they don't think they can make it. And by you making it, it's going to create hope in the inside of them, where now if she can do it, I can do it.
because they've fallen on their back, they fall on their head, they're injured both physically, emotionally, just because of trauma. And the Lord says, even though you were injured, you got yourself back up. See, because you know you even though you had the concussion, I'm going to tell you, the concussion didn't define you. He said, I'm still out here on the ring, I'm still swinging, even though sometimes I feel a little dizzy, I'm going to get through this. And the Lord says, even right now, I don't know, I see somebody you're with, they're experiencing vertigo. The Lord says that he's going to use you to bring healing to their mind, healing to that disease, healing so that they get their balance back, says the Lord. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, touch her right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lee, I hear this for you as well. The Lord said, because you're willing to be very, very patient, it's a divine patience. It's a sort of like, okay, I'm not going to react. I'm not going to just jump into this. I'm going to wait for the timing of the Lord. And I hear the reason why God put the two of you together is that you were to help her remove certain obstacles that could not be removed. But you're not removing them all at once. You're removing them in increments, little by little, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. And the Lord says, even in the natural, you have cleared the paths for many so they could walk and not be afraid. So I'm going to call you to clear the paths and to make paths straight for those that are spiritually afraid of doing anything for God. You are going to begin to sow into missions and sow into missionaries because you have a heart for those who are in a place where it's very, very difficult to live and have an existence. I even see you going on a short-term missions trip just so that you can just serve because you are a servant and God has blessed your hands. You may not have a title of pastor or prophet, but you have, the Bible says it isn't the greatest, that the pastor or the prophet's not the greatest. The servant is the greatest. And because you have served under pressure, the Lord is making a way for you. Even now, there's been some physical issues where you felt things begin to even were a little bit worried about your physical state. The Lord says, I'm going to sustain you once you put your hand on your husband. And I just feel like physically, the Lord is going to revitalize you. The Lord is going to heal you. The Lord is going to do a miracle in your body as I'm speaking right now. It's like I see these pains in your legs and just getting up in the morning, just the body. And all of a sudden, I see your body being revitalized and renewed as I'm speaking right now. And I speak to that mountain, be thou cast in the sea. And if I do not doubt in my heart and believe that I have what I say. And the Lord says that this is not a time to retire. It's a time to refire and renew because you have so much inside you to give. You have so many people that need your gift and need that servant's heart. Father, touch Lee from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Come on and give God a shout of praise right now. Amen. Can we worship?
Chains are gone, and I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Amazing love, amazing grace. My chains are gone. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Amazing love, amazing grace.
I want everyone to put your hand in your heart right now.
want you to say this after me. Because my first call was to those that feel like they're in prison. I want you to say this after me. Jesus, this morning, I did not hear a sermon. I heard an invitation. And right now, I say yes to it. I believe that every one of my chains have fallen off by the power of your word and by the power of a song, of a prayer. And right now, because I am set free, I am going to start singing like I've never sung before. And prisoners are going to be set free. Captives are going to be set free. Bodies are going to be healed. Things are going to change in the atmosphere because of my shout, my sing, my prayer in the name of Jesus. Now give God a shout of praise in the house this morning. Are you glad you came to church? Are you glad you came to church this morning? I want to. Oh, yeah. I was looking for you and your wife, our children's pastors. I want to make sure I pray for you. I want to pray for you, both of you. How many love this wonderful, wonderful couple? I just heard the Lord say, my daughter, it's not just the heart of the children you have. You have the heart for a people. You have a heart for nations. You have a heart to see people impacted by the word. And I'm going to say something to you. The Lord is going to give you a megaphone. And your voice is going to be heard. Because your husband, all he wants to do is fuel the gift that is in you. Because you hear from the Lord. You hear clearly the voice of the Lord. You hear his shout and you hear his whisper. He speaks to you constantly. He shows you details. There is a strong word of knowledge on you. And God has an assignment for you in this season. He wants you to teach. He says, teach my children how to hear from me. Teach my children how to discern the voice of the Lord. And the Lord says, your greatest tools isn't your curriculum. Your greatest tool is your passion for people. Because curriculums come and go. Some of them need to go. Some of them need to stay. But passion does not come and go. It's a work of the Spirit. And God says to both of you that he did not send you here because to do curriculum. He sent you here to raise up disciples. And because of that passion, I promise you, I will give as many disciples as you ask me. Because, son, I will tell you this. Because you're willing to make the investment. And it's not just economic. It's your time. It's your time. It is not just your time at church. It's your time that you spend when you're not here, consumed by how much of an impact you can bring when you are here. It's the time when your mind processes, how can I get better? How can I make my wife better? How can I make others better? Because that's what you do. That's why I brought you here. Because you make things better. And because you even make things come alive that were weighing, that were sort of in a place of stagnation and they weren't not moving, you have a way of stirring the pot. God has given you a great sense of humor. God has given you a way of laughing in the face of the enemy. God has given you the ability to even laugh in the middle of the crisis. It is a gift, son. And because I give you that gift, just as your wife will teach a generation how to hear the voice of the Lord and how to discern the voice of the Lord, you will teach a generation how to laugh at the enemy and actually laugh at life and not take it so seriously and be overburdened, because what you will do is you will come into the atmosphere, come into the room, and it was like just your presence will cause stress to leave the room, says the Lord. Father, from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, touch them right now in Jesus' name. Come on and give God a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah. Pastor JC.
Amen. Now, I know it's afternoon, but how many of you are glad that you're here this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. Don't worry, the restaurants aren't closed. This was so powerful this morning. How many of you feel like you've been set free of something? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a message. What a timely message that God has brought and dropped into John to bring to us this morning. We have an opportunity to support their ministry. And again, if you're going to be giving this morning and you're writing a check, you can just make it out to Pebble Creek. And all that is raised for the in this offering goes to them. We don't keep anything. We write them everything that comes in. You can give online. Just go to our website if you want, pcag.org. You can, on the giving tab, you can do it that way. There's other ways to do it, but we want to sow into this ministry because the nation needs to hear these messages. The church needs to hear these messages. You know, we can get so distracted on what we see on TV and read on social media and Twitter and Facebook, all this stuff, because we have access 24 hours a day to it. And it can, but what are we listening? And we brought it up. What voices are we listening to? The voice of the Lord, the voice of His Word, or the voice of man? The voice, and many times it's the voice of the enemy. We need to be people that hear the voice of the Lord. And I love the prophecy about teaching the younger generations to hear the voice of the Lord. They're real good at hearing social media and stuff, but they need to discern. They need that discernment to hear and recognize the voice of the Lord. And you know, you even shared this over the weekend. It's Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." So it's, man, there's so much there. So much there. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Would the gentleman helping with the offering come forward, please? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again. I thank you, Lord, that you've raised up people like the Harkies. Lord, that they've responded to your call. Lord, that's what we all need to do. You've called us each. You've given us each gifts. You've given us each abilities, callings, ministries. Sometimes, Lord, we don't hear it. We don't sense it. We don't know what to do. But when we spend time with you, when we make ourselves available, Lord, and we we clear out all of the noise and so we can just hear your voice, then you will reveal that to us. But God, thank you for the Harkies. Thank you for what you are doing through them. And we pray, God, that you would bless everything that's given and use it as they go around this nation and wherever else around the world that you call them to, so that they can bring the good news of the gospel, so they can bring the word of the Lord, so they can bring encouragement and comfort and strength in the body of Christ, so that we can be everything you've called us to be in these days that we live in. As the world gets darker, your church should be getting brighter, to shine the love and the power of Christ everywhere. Thank you, Lord, for this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long the earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me dearly loved, will be forever mine.
Oh, He will be.
Praise God Almighty. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to us this morning. We thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord, that this time of worship doesn't end when we leave these doors. It goes with us. Everywhere we go, Holy Spirit goes with us. Keep that attitude of praise. Keep that attitude of freedom. And may it permeate. If you go out to eat, wherever you go, may the people that you come into contact with feel the presence of the Lord. Amen.